waters, we worship you. There's none like you. None that can be compared to you. You are so wonderful, so gracious, so loving, so marvelous, so beautiful,
yes, Lord.
So pure,
yes.
So holy.
Hallelujah.
Father, we bless you. No one can see the end of your love. No one can see the end of your love. Above the head, you sit in the heavens, and you have made the earth your footstool. This morning we bow before you. Receive all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, all the adoration in that name that is above every name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to us this morning. Enlighten our understanding. Make us better persons as we step out of this fellowship, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you and thank you. Breathe upon your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let's give Jesus a resounding clap offering for the choir. They have been wonderful. God bless you all. More anointing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so lifted this morning. Exceedingly lifted. Father, we thank you. We bless you, God. Awesome God. Blessed be your name. Okay, this morning, we will be talking about praise and thanksgiving. As had been already said, and coincidentally, our Father in the Lord, in us waiting on the Lord, has said, the next 21 days, which is virtually the whole of this January, should be dedicated to thanksgiving. And I want us to talk about it, because I believe that thanksgiving is the foundation of every other thing we will be doing this year. Let that spirit of thanksgiving come upon us, and let it carry us through the year 2021. Hallelujah. Psalm 150, I begin from verse 1, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Psalm 150 from verse 1. from the New Living Translation, I begin. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud sounding cymbals, loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. So we want to talk about praise and thanksgiving for us all. And I believe it comes with an understanding of the grace of God. The songwriter says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When we count our blessings, that way we have a true sense of God's love and of God's faithfulness. Amen? God's faithfulness should be the foundation of the confidence that you and I have. Can I repeat that? The faithfulness of God for the true believer should be the foundation of the confidence that we have. Because if God were not faithful, where would we be? If God were not faithful for morning to come and night to come, for the moon to be out and for the sun to be out at the right time, for it to rain at a particular time of the year and for the rains to cease, where would you and I be? But let us ask ourselves this morning, what is exactly the nature of true praise or thanksgiving? It is important for us to have a revelation or understanding of what true praise is, so that we can properly and effectively this year 2021 praise God. So what does true praise consist of? Are you following me? Isaiah chapter 6, I will read from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3. It gives us a glimpse of what true praise consists of. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now from this scripture, we see that these beings extol and proclaim the holiness of God endlessly, because they understand and see God's absolute purity. That absolute purity is the one distinguishing factor between God and every other creation. That absolute purity is what makes God unique. No being, absolutely no being, can match his purity. No being can match God's holiness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Not one iota of darkness in God. It is his absolute purity that God, it is in that his absolute purity that God is unique. He's unique and alone. In that, unique and alone. And that is why the psalmist said in Psalm 145 verse 8, Psalm 145 verse 8, he said, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Brethren, deriving from God's holiness is God's unconditional and God's uncreated love. The love of God is not created. Out of his absolute purity comes his love. And I will explain. You know that when we as human beings say we love somebody, there's usually a reason. Something the person does, or something the person says or does or makes us feel. The moment the person stops that thing, that love fades. Someone on our wedding day professing love to her husband, and in 2 years down the line, can be saying, I don't love him anymore. That's the nature of man's love, as distinct from God's love. You find that people can hate with the same intensity with which they loved. We see the videos now. Husband kill wife, shoots wife to death, or wife hacks the husband to death. But at a point in that relationship, they were in love. Not just in love, they probably were very in love. But that love, the intensity of that love, later turned to hate. Why? Because that person stopped doing something that influenced the love. But God's love is uncreated. Nothing influences it. That's why the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God commended his love towards us, in that Christ died for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, when we were the enemies of God, what happened? God loved us. And again, that is why Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious. He is full of compassion, slow to anger, is great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. You and I are good to some. That's the difference. Did you hear me? God is good to all, but you and I are good to some. Is that not wonderful? God's uncreated love is revealed in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, I read verse 15 and verse 16. Psalm 145. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Another translation says, the eyes of all wait expectantly upon thee. And thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth, listen, the desire of every living thing. Is that not awesome? Both the just and the unjust. Buhari said in his inauguration speech, some of us can remember that, I belong to everybody and I belong to nobody. A very lovely catchphrase, which turned out to be very false. Why? Because he's human. Trump was voted in as president, but he was president only to serve those who voted for him. human nature. The book of Revelation makes us to know that when the four and the 20 elders worship God, what do? They chant and they extol God's holiness. What do? Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. Holy. That is what they do. The four and the 20 elders. That's the way to give praise to God. The way to give praise to God is to acknowledge God's holiness. And that is the singular quality that distinguishes God from every other. Absolute purity. The Bible says that there is no unrighteousness with God. When you come to praise God, the first thing you praise, the first thing that you do to praise Him is for who He is. God is holy. You must acknowledge that thing that makes God different from every other person. And that is His holiness, His purity. The more you understand who He is, the closer you can come to Him. When you understand that the essence of this God is His holiness, the more you realize that His essence is holiness, and as you draw closer to Him, it becomes an imperative for you also to become holy. You just have to be holy. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. He said, as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all manner of conversation. Holiness is the essential nature of God. And when we come to praise Him, we praise His holiness. You see, every other thing, God's compassion, God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, they all derive from His holiness. All. If God loves, His love has to be perfect. If God judges, it has to be perfect. Everything God does is what? Perfect. Because they all derive from His holiness. That is why you and I have to enter deeply into this nature of God, so that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we do not acknowledge the holiness of God, I dare say we are not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So it is important that we understand this revelation of His holiness and walk in holiness, so that we can worship Him properly. The next thing in our understanding of praise is the understanding of how undeserving we are. Does that make sense? You will not have given God appropriate praise. If you do not appreciate how undeserving you are. We need an understanding of that very much. It is very important that you and I enter into this. You and I cannot afford, how do I put it? We cannot afford to be careless in the choice of our words with God. We cannot afford to sound familiar when we come before God. Our language with God must be proper. Church, follow me. Are you with me? You and I must know how undeserving that we are. And what does it mean to be undeserving? We lack merit before God. So true praise is therefore revealed by our understanding, by you and I understanding how undeserving we are and how totally dependent we are on God's mercy and on God's grace. It's so easy to be deceived because maybe people acknowledge you. People tell you all manners of good things. They tell you you are a good person and you believe it. See, it doesn't matter what people say about you. They can tell you that you are the most wonderful man from your village. They can do that so long as you don't believe it. As long as you don't believe it. Because we have no control over what people say to us or what they say about us. So long as you don't believe it. Because if you are truly honest with yourself, you know that you are undeserving. Does that make sense? You are quiet. You see, it's very important in our relationship with God that we continue to do what? To lengthen the gap between us and God. We don't come near at all. It's very important. Absolutely important. When we draw near to God, and when the Bible says we should draw near to God, it is not for us to begin to rub shoulder with God. That is not the idea. On the contrary, it is what Jesus has taught us in Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 that should be our attitude when we draw near to God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit will appear before God. Why? Because of the poverty of their spirit. That is why they will appear before God. And what is the poverty of spirit? What does it mean? To have a poverty of spirit is simply people who know that outside of God's mercy and outside of God's grace, they are nothing. They are nothing. If you think you are something, may God not withdraw his grace from you. To have poverty of spirit is to know that outside of the mercy of God and the grace of God, I am what? Nothing. And the manner of praise that we should adopt is revealed to us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The attitude we should have. Are you with me? It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to do what? To receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Brethren, you have to put this in both your subconscious and in your consciousness. That we are created for what? God's pleasure. Because when you have it in your subconscious, when you have it in your spirit, that way you don't offend God and you are not offended by God. I have the story that was told of a young man who was the leader of the prayer warriors in his church. He led night vigils, prayer meetings, powerful prayer person, a prayer warrior by every definition. Then he had a challenge in his own life, and he wanted to pray, and he went to God and said, "Lord, you have disappointed me." When you say you are disappointed with God, it means you believe you are deserving. You see, people can be carried away. People, Christians, can just be carried away. "Lord, you have disappointed me." Who are you? Who are you? So, you want to call police, Abby? Who are you? To have such temerity. "God, you have disappointed me." Eh? Because I am righteous. Because I am prayerful. Because I am a pastor. Then I believe that God runs to and fro just to answer every prayer I pray. What do they call that? Olodo?
It is important to get this because a lot of people have messed up their lives by not understanding that part of spiritual growth is to know how undeserving we are. The songwriter says, or he sang, you know that song? Today, oh, I will lift up my voice in praise. Today, oh, I will lift up my voice in praise. All I know, you are always there for me. Almighty God, you are my all in all. This is the key now. No matter what I face, when trouble comes my way, I will praise that. But people turned it. No matter what I face, when success comes my way. That was not the intention of the songwriter. It is easy to praise God when things are going well with you. The true test of faith and Christianity is your ability to praise God when things are not going well. Not no matter what I face, when success comes my way. Who won't praise God when success comes? Is that not what praise is all about? Thanking God for what he has done. Who won't do that? But when you are able to praise God, when your world is falling apart, that is a believer. No, we have said it again and again. Please carry this scripture in this your Christian journey. Luke chapter 17 verse 10. Luke chapter 17 verse 10. It says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which hath commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You serve God, you do good, you don't impress God. It's what you are supposed to do anyway. Were you supposed to come and be doing evil? So why do you want to tell God, ah, God, I've done you a favor, I'm disappointed with you, Oloshi? Why? Why? He says it's what you are supposed to do. If you don't do it, you are doomed. Are you following scripture? Church, answer me now. This is 2021. So that nobody grows about crying, oh God, God, you have disappointed me. Ah, oh. Don't do like that, oh. Oh, bon kotimuso. Ma she bayi. Eh? Don't do so. Don't do so. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Revelation chapter 4 gives us another dimension of this Luke chapter 17 verse 10 I gave to you. And I need you to listen to me. Revelation chapter 4 verse 10 and 11. Are you listening? The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we learn from the above scripture how humanity should worship God. The 24 elders, they are also called the heavenly Sanhedrin. They fall down and cast their crowns before the throne. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a throne? A crown, sorry. Apostle Paul tells us that crown is what you receive at the end of your journey. At the end of our Christian journey, what will we receive? We receive crowns. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, he said, put it this way. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now is laid up for me, what? A crown of righteousness. So what does that mean? The crown represents your laurels, your trophies, your prize, your reward. But let me say more of your laurels and your trophies. When you collect these trophies and laurels, laurels and trophies of what? Of your service to God on earth. When you appear before God, where do you put them? He said, will they cast them down? And what does that mean? He are saying to God, I have no merit before you. You don't wear your crown and worship God. You cast them down. To say to God, I am nothing without you. There's no merit. Church, I hope you are following me. 2021. Let's walk with understanding. Do you know? How do I put it now? Do you know that if God were to analyze every man's work according to its content, all our works will collapse? The way you people are quiet this morning is making me uncomfortable. If God were to analyze your good works according to the motive behind that work, most of them will collapse, if not 100%. That is where the grace and mercy of God comes in. At the end, you may deserve nothing based on motive and the content of your good work. Good, in quotes. You know that sometimes, let's be truthful to ourselves. I see, I'm not coming here to tell you. I'm coming here to tell you us, as human beings. Sometimes when you show kindness to people, everybody thinks we are kind. But meanwhile, we do some of the things we do to impress people. Not necessarily because we are kind. We do things we do sometimes out of motives that are not apparent to people, and sometimes not apparent to ourselves. Because the Bible says that the heart of man is what? Above all things, desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? Not even you. There are so many things we do that when motive is imputed, the thing just collapses. And I dare tell you that God is not usually impressed by what we do. He just reaches out to you and every one of us by his mercy and his grace. There's hardly anything like uncreated love with men. There's hardly anything like unconditional love with men. Men do things for reasons. I used to tease my wife. You know, she was a branch manager of a bank for quite a while. I used to tease her in December period. My dad was also a bank manager. He retired as a bank manager in Union Bank. And when we were in Benin, bank managers then were like village headmasters. No, they were lords. In Benin, there were only two branches of Union Bank, one in Mission Road, one in Akpava. In Warri, where we live, because they were going from place to place, there was only one branch. As at the time, my father was a branch manager. So he was a lord. So I used to tease my wife. I said, I don't understand the kind of branch manager you are. When we were growing up like this in December, we don't have where to put leg in our house. Turkey, goat, hamper, this one, that one. This kind of your branch manager, I just don't understand. Not even a bottle of granite oil. I don't. Branch managers then can do and undo. They give loans, they do it. This one, no, I think it's only MD that gives loans in banks now. Egunje, the whole place is filled. I used to tease her. But guess what? My father finally retired from service. I think he retired like August or September of that year. In December of that year, of that same year, Nobody bought a bottle of granite. The only person who brought turkey did not know he had retired. That tells you the nature of human love. That is why I say, don't be deceived, though. Don't be deceived. Even the wife that married you for a reason. You think you can marry and be misbehaving? One day she will tell you what. But on the contrary, God's love is not inspired. God's love is not influenced, which is why God is deserving of our praise. So this revelation is an attitude we should carry inside of us, so that whenever we appear before God, we can tell him and say, Lord, you know, and I know that I am undeserving. Tell God such things. Don't appear before God as a superman. Without me, Lord, today will be messed up. You over call it Oniran. Without me today, Lord, you better do something for me, or else I won't praise you again. Lord, you know that I know that I am undeserving. You see, I must not delude myself. We must not delude ourselves this year, because we cannot claim merit before God. We must place ourselves in positions where God can deal with us unhindered. Why? Because we have emptied ourselves of what? Self-worth before God. That is what they mean by emptying yourself. Empty yourself of what? Self-worth. That is why we come to church sometimes, praise is going on, people's hands are in their pockets, and they are doing like this. They are doing like this. When you come, see, the Bible gives us examples now, David. When David came before God to praise God, what did he do? He was a king. Some of us have not even smelled middle-level management in our offices. David was a king, and today is recorded as the greatest king ever in Israel. When he came before God, what did he do? He emptied himself of every self-worth. That his wife saw him and said, look at you, king. How can you be dancing before people like that? That is the attitude. It is important that we empty ourselves of self-worth. Why? So that God can fill us with himself. When you are full of self, God cannot come in anymore. When you empty yourself, God can fill you with himself. The angel told Jacob, now you have power with God and with men. When you are filled by God, what happens? You have power with God and with men. That's the secret. You know, we need this in this new year. We need to have power with God in 2021. And why do we need this? We need it because we all, fountain of living waters, we all need to be men and women of power. Men and women of power. Power does not come from the blues. Power comes from the presence of God. Jacob wrestled. After the wrestling match, the angel said, you now have power with God. You know, God is very interesting. God is awesome. Let me just illustrate this. Are you following me? Let me just take it deeper. Now, Jacob began, if I will call it, his life or ministry after that encounter with God. And you remember in Genesis, I'm not so sure now, 34 or 35, The Bible tells us that one of Jacob's daughters was raped, Dinah, right? And when he was raped, when the brothers came, I'm just trying to summarize the story, they found out that their sister had been raped. And the man, I think Shechem is his name, with his father, Hamor, came to Jacob and said, my son loves this, your daughter, please give her to us in marriage. And they said to them, okay, we will. They said, give her to us in marriage. Anything you want in our land, we will give you. Even to half, anything. So they said, you know what's going to happen? We have a covenant with our God, though, that we should not mingle with people who are uncircumcised. So for us to give our daughter to you, all your men have to circumcise themselves. And they agreed to that. And they circumcised themselves. While they were still sore, the brothers had their own plan. What did they do? They went and slayed Shechem and Hamor and spoiled the city. And when they spoiled the city, their father came back because he was a man of integrity and said, hey, what have you people done now? After we have entered an agreement that we will do this, what did you people do? You have brought trouble upon me. Now, wherever I go, what are people going to do? They are going to want to kill me. But interesting thing, I think in the next chapter, chapter 35 or 36, I'm not so sure now. What did God do? How awesome God is when a man has power with God. The Bible says that the terror of God was upon the people. They could kill Jacob, but when they saw Jacob appear, the terror of God came upon them. Why? Because he was carrying the power of God with him. We must do all to have power with God by allowing him to fill us this year. And this we do by emptying ourselves of self-worth. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16. Now you've been blessed. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 says, 16 to 19. Okay, let me do it. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So we need to be strengthened in our inner man by God's spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being what? Rooted and grounded in love. Go on. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Yes? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does this tell us? That power and being filled with the fullness of God comes with one thing: understanding of God's love. We need a revelation of the love of God. The more we have a revelation of the love of God, the more we are filled with the fullness of God. So the way to power with God. And what does the Bible tell us is, what does the Bible tell us that the love of God means? What does it mean to love God? To obey God. To obey God. The way to have power with God is to do whatever God wants, the way he wants it. Did you get that qualification? Some people do what God wants the way they want it. True obedience is to do what God wants the way God wants it. God can want you to give, and you give and walk away. God can want you to give, and you say, until everybody recognizes that I've given, that is when I'll give. You have given and done what God wants, but not the way God wants it. Are we seeing that Christianity is deeper than what we think? When you understand this, then you get to understand that people around you may be doing what they like, but you cannot afford to do what you like just like them. Because when you do that, you will miss God. I don't know why some people are sleeping, but I hope you are hearing. This is 2021. God is awesome in his power. So we understand from something that was taught in secondary school, biology. I think it's called molecular biology. That tells us that the cells in our body is what is doctors or scientists may know better, but I think this is how it goes. That the cells in our bodies are responsible for producing the different things in our bodies. The cell is responsible for us for producing hair, for producing nails, and all that, right? And all the cells in the body are the same. But the question now is, who is it that tells the head to produce hair and not the tongue? Imagine if you opened your tongue and there was hair all over your tongue. The people sitting around you now will say, you know what, I'll come back to church tomorrow or next time. Is it not? When you open your mouth and there's hair all over your tongue. Who tells the body, hey, you are the one, not the tongue? It's not the fingernails. It's not. Who tells? That is the awesomeness of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. These are why we worship, we praise God. Because God is mysterious. This whole earth that we are, you see how it is? There's no pillar holding it. You look under, you look everywhere, no pillar. How is it standing? How is it standing in the orbit? Awesomeness of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 25, says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods." The next thing we learn is that, I'm rounding up very soon. The psalmist says we should praise God for his mighty acts. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. New Living Translation says, praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. The Bible says that the moment, I said the Bible. Yes, the Bible says. But do you know, which is true, that the moment the spirit leaves a man, what happens? The man is dead. Not dead. There were some people that gathered themselves, scientists, and said by the year 2045, they would have solved the mystery of death. That then they will be able to wake up all those who are dead, who have been dead, and give them life. They don't know that it's the spirit that gives life. They think it's biology or science that produces life. The mystery of life is the spirit of man. When the spirit leaves, a man is gone. See how people are dying off. Year 2020, how people are dropping dead, even up to yesterday. But you and I are here. We need to thank God. We need to thank God. But the mistake that you and I can make is to think that we are better. It's a big mistake. To think that you are better than those who are dying. And this is where thanksgiving comes in. Thanksgiving is recounting your indebtedness to God. Counting your blessings and naming them one by one. Can I say that again? Thanksgiving is a recounting your indebtedness to God. By recounting your indebtedness, what do? You acknowledge your total dependence on God. A man that goes and says to God, apart from you, I am nothing, is a man who knows that his existence is by the grace of God. And we should say that more often to God. Without you, I am nothing. David said, you know, David said that all this offering that I am bringing before you when they were building the temple, all of them, it is you that owns them. It's you that have them. I am only bringing what you have given to me. And even the willingness to even give it is by your grace. This is how you understand, or this is how you know a man who understands. Who understands God's uncreated love. Who understands God's grace and God's mercy. Who understands God's holiness. This is how you know. This is how you know. Praise the Lord. The air you breathe that we take for granted. They say a cylinder of oxygen. How much is it? Please, can you tell us? Do you know? It's costing hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Cylinder of oxygen. This one that we breathe in here. So whenever you are taking God for granted and come to God and say, you disappointed me. Always know what the things that God is doing for you free. Understand it. Understand it. The next three verses, I just want to round up now. Okay, are you getting something? So the next three verses says, praise him with a blast of ram's horn. Praise him with lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud sounding, clanging cymbals. What this tells us, one simple thing that this tells us, is that heaven is a noisy place. So those people who tell you that praise must be solemn, they are missing out on a dress rehearsal of what they should be doing in heaven. Did you see it in the Bible? Let nobody stop your praise. And I pray that in 2021, nobody will stop your praise. Your praise will go up to the heavens in the name of Jesus. Heaven is filled with the chants of angels and men. Cymbals, clanging cymbals, crying, shouting, praising, sounds of hallelujah. And I think that the book of Revelation gives us a peep into how praise in heaven is. It tells us that when men are praising heaven, are praising in heaven, is like the sounds of what? Many waters. If you have gone to Babbage, you will understand it. Babbage, when Babbage was Babbage, you go to Babbage and you stay by the bank there. Yeah. You understand what it is. And that is just one body of water. The Bible talks of many waters. Then lastly, as I close, are you following? As I close with this, because of time. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. In other words, everything that has the privilege of conscious life should praise God. You know, there are so many creatures that are routine in their existence. They don't think. They don't analyze things. You know that there are some animals, they tell us that their eyes never close. There are animals that stand sleeping. Their existence is routine, but not you and I. Everything that has the privilege of conscious life should praise God. This is what is called conscious meditative gratitude. And that includes our salvation, which is the most precious gift, because God took us as candidates of hell and brought us redemption. Buried in the gratitude of our salvation is the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Bible tells us that scarcely will any man die for a righteous man, perhaps for a good man. That scripture. So you understand the depth of what God did for you. You understand it. We owe our existence to the grace
and to the mercy of God.
Do we understand that life can be very fragile? Life can be very delicate. The difference between life and death can be very thin. We're told the story. A lady was telling the story of his father. The father takes cornflakes every morning. And when he's taking cornflakes, he doesn't like the cornflakes to be soggy. He likes it that when he's taking it, he likes to hear the crackle of the cornflakes. Crack, crack. That's the way he likes it. And this particular day, he was taking his cornflakes and he took one spoon and he choked on the spoon. That is how he passed on. That is how he died. You see the fragility of life? So any one of us here that has finished a bowl of cornflakes, some of us did this morning, you see why you should praise God? That you finished a bowl, nothing happened to you. We must thank God for his overwhelming love and favor that singled us out to keep us alive and to bless us. 2020 was turbulent, to say the least. And we just have to magnify God and magnify his holy name. We must bless God. That is the debt of gratitude that we owe him. I don't mean to scare us. I don't mean to. But only in this year, 2021, from 1st of January to date, I know at least 5 people who have died. Which is why we mustn't be careless. Which is why we mustn't exhibit unnecessary bravado. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that can make you sniff the virus and it does not affect you. But we mustn't tempt God. We should remain thankful. Every day you wake up and you have life. Every day your leg touches the ground as you wake up, let your hands be lifted up to heaven and say, God, thank you for life. No one of us is sustaining ourselves. It's God. It's not by our prayers, not by our righteousness. Yesterday, a pastor that I know very well, wonderful man of God, I think he's about the assistant pastor in House on the Rock, Dr. Akin Bami, passed on. The symptoms came within 2 days, he went. Within 2 days. Of COVID. He died of COVID. But he felt the symptoms. First day, second day, and he was gone. Can you be so presumptuous to think you are better than him? I'm closing. I wish I could say more. But let me say this. Even when we come to God in prayers for God to give you something or do something for you, your prayers can be founded on thanksgiving. When you come asking God and say, God, please, these are my final exams, my doctorate. God, please, let them promote me at work. God, please, let this happen to me. God, give me a husband. The platform and the foundation of that prayer should be on thanksgiving. Why? Let me tell you. The reason it should be on thanksgiving is because God has done things for you before. Which means what you are asking God, God can do it. But if God chooses not to do it, you are saying to God, you remain God in my life. That is what it means to come before God on the platform and foundation of thanksgiving. Because God is sovereign. God, when he judges, is perfect. He knows what he's doing. When you complain and murmur before God, the only thing you are saying to God is, God, you don't know what you are doing. And God knows. Because oftentimes the things we think are denial today, in years to come, we see the wisdom in God delaying it. Come with a heart of thanksgiving to God. No matter what you gain this year or what you lose, let that be the foundation of your relationship with God. Because God is perfect. And that is why we must praise Him. Shall we stand? Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Bible says that it is good for brethren to come together in fellowship. Part of your worship and your service to God is being in fellowship. There are certain mentalities that we should discard and take up the mentality of heaven. When you're being in fellowship, is dependent on your mood, or subconsciously you feel you are doing God favor by coming, you are losing out on something. It's an act of pride and not of praise and worship. Let a lot of things be readjusted in our minds and in our hearts this year. And on that note, if you are here, you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your personal Savior. Salvation is one of the greatest gifts that God endowed humanity with. If you are here and you know that you have not accepted Jesus and received Him into your heart as Lord and Savior, I want you to lift up your hands. When a man gives you a gift, your father gives you a gift, and you put your hand behind and say, "I don't want it," what does that mean? It's an act of pride. God is giving you a gift of His Son. You can either accept Him or reject Him. Accepting it is saying, "Lord, I thank You for being so gracious. I'm headed to hell, but You want me to come back and go to heaven." If you are here, you do not know Jesus, one more call before I close. I just want you to lift that hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's about you and your eternity. Is there anyone taking that decision? Jesus, come into my life. Father, we bless You and thank You for Your word today. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that every one of us with this word we have received this morning will be renewed in the spirits of our minds. That this year we will walk in understanding and in revelation of thanksgiving and of praise. Knowing that we are nothing without You, that Your mercy and Your grace is what is keeping us. Lord, we pray this morning as a congregation that each one of us, our lives will be Your praise. In the name of Jesus, we will not disappoint You. We will bring joy to heaven. Our lives will praise You, and we will not return to our vomit. Thank You, Father, for transformation, for renewed spirits, for lives of praise. Blessed be Your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our fast begins tomorrow for the next 63 days. The first 21 days, which begins from tomorrow, is just for thanksgiving and praise to God. Not coming to God to ask Him. God knows what you need. God knows what you need more than you do. But He says, "Come to me in praise and thanksgiving." So, I pray that God will give you, each of us, the discipline to come before Him in thanksgiving and praise for the next 21 days. And the next 21 days after that, beginning from February 1 to February 21, we'll be asking God for mercy. Just asking Him for mercy over your life, over your family, over the church, over our nation, over the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Mercy. Which is another powerful way to pray. We have learned it today that we exist by the mercy and the grace of God. I've shared this again and again. A man of God who stood before his congregation to say that for the past 20 years, I have never asked God for one thing.
And if you look at his life and compare it to yours, you see he's far ahead of you. So it means that God knows what we want. It's not by what we ask. Then the next 21 days from February 22 will be for you asking God for anything you want. Okay? But let's come with thanksgiving and praise. Let's seek his mercy and then let's make our request. Okay? I pray that God will give us the grace, will give us the discipline. In the mighty name of Jesus. We need it. God has been gracious to the Redeemed Christian Church of God. And sometimes it could be because of these constant fasts and prayers that we have been called to. Because truly God does nothing except in answer to prayers. Shall we share the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all of the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Should we decide, which I'm sure we will, to be praying at a particular time every day, I want to encourage you to join. The last fast we had last year was just the same group of people in a church of this number, and so many more at home who did not come to church because of COVID protocols. Be part of it. When brethren come together in prayers, there's power. There's power. So I want to encourage you to be a part of every spiritual activity the church is engaged in. Because sometimes when we are not, it is a slight indication of pride. You feel you are better. Maybe. I don't know. But God help us. Let our mindsets this year be different. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep and protect you. The Lord smile on you. The Lord be gracious to you and show you his favor. May the Lord grant you his peace in every area of your lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go in peace.